From South Carolina Public Radio, this is On the Keys. I'm David Kaiser. This is part one of a two-part Bach program that features upstate South Carolina organists and instruments, though you will find a scattering of pipe organs from elsewhere. Bernard answered last week's keyboard question correctly. Samuel Barber was classmates with the SC native Sidney Foster at Curtis. This week, name me the organist who helped popularize Bach through weekly broadcasts recorded at Harvard University. Keys at scpublicradio.org for your answers. Please keep in mind on this program that my choices for who plays on the show are only that, choices. South Carolina is lucky to be the home of many talented organists, and if you want to be part of future programs, please reach out to me. I by no means want to leave anyone out. And one bit more of housekeeping before we get started. This is not meant to be an exhaustive overview of Bach's life, but only a primer, of course. Bach has seen through his organ works that he composed throughout his 65 years. The organ was the instrument of choice for this late Baroque master, and organists continually look towards Bach to find engaging, oftentimes genius works for their instrument of choice, and luckily he composed music his whole life. Scholars and aficionados are fortunate that Bach was rather a homebody and spent his entire life in the Thuringia area of modern-day Germany, which is in the center of Germany. While Handel, Telemann, Rameau, and others were fascinated by the rise of dramatic metropolitan opera invented by Monteverdi and national styles made elsewhere, as John Elliott Gardner argues in his excellent book, Music in the Castle of Heaven, a text, by the way, consulted heavily for this radio program. Bach, though, born in 1685, you do have his date memorized, don't you, was an orphan at 10. He was forced to become fiercely independent, practical, and relied heavily on the ambivalent comfort offered by Martin Luther's reforms and Martin Luther's hymns. That opera was too fancy for him. Outside of the cantatas, Bach drew from the old Protestant hymns in his chorale prelude settings, pieces he composed his entire life. Hundreds of years earlier, Martin Luther, by the way, had holed himself up in the Wartburg Castle in the town Eisenach, Bach's birthplace. A town I see now on a map directly in front of me, and put together by the Bach scholar Christoph Wolff, and a map that I would consult if you're interested in Bach. There are 8 other locations listed on the map. The furthest, approximately the distance from Greenville to Charleston, and these are the places that Bach worked and lived. First, Eisenach, 1685 to 1695, Ohrdruf to 1700, Lüneburg to 1702, Weimar to 1703, he spent less than a year, Arnstadt, 1707, Mulhausen, 1708, a return to Weimar, 1717, Curtin to 1723, and finally Leipzig to 1750. He spent the most time in Leipzig. From these homestead centers, Bach traveled around, though albeit a limited radius, trying organs here and there, and even suggested a duel with Louis Marchand in Dresden. He regularly visited Berlin from Leipzig to visit with his son Carl Philipp Emanuel, and to Potsdam to woo the King Frederick the Great of Prussia. And to also play, by the way, Silbermann forte pianos, very early pianos, in his palace. He also sampled the best organs in the city. Need I mention here that Bach often faced criticism that his music was old-fashioned, stile antico, the style of Palestrina. But I must mention Bach had plenty of fun in the burgeoning gallant style, a style that his sons would take up, and the virtuosic Italianate style of his concertos and chamber music. In 1739, near the end of his life and career, Bach, ever interested in his place in history, composes the St. Anne Prelude and Fugue. French, Italian, and German styles mix in the prelude, but the fugue, a testament to the Trinity with its 3 themes, by its very nature is densely contrapuntal and in the old style. It's as if Bach is arguing that the new style and the national styles are very good, but what about the eternal beauty of a fugue? A nearly triple fugue at that, by the way. So our first organist on the show is Bob Glick. And in some ways, we start at the very end of Bach's life in Leipzig. The instrument is the Golding in Wood of First Presbyterian Church in Greenwood. of 58 ranks and 3 manuals. This recording is from a dedicatory recital in 2002. Bob recently retired from Erskine College and is the organist at First Pres Greenwood. The Prelude and Fugue in E-flat major, BWV 552 by Bach, composed in the final decade of his life in Leipzig. It has the nickname the St. Anne for its similarity to the hymn theme, talking about the fugue. This piece comes from the third Klavierübung, or keyboard practice. And though Bach only published one cantata during his days, he had multiple books of keyboard music published.
Thank you.
You have just heard the Prelude and Fugue in E-flat major, BWV 552 by J.S. Bach, played for us on the Golding and Wood pipe organ of First Presbyterian Church in Greenwood by Bob Glick, a recording made in 2002. You are listening to On the Keys. I'm David Kaiser, and in this two-part series, the organ music of J.S. Bach, played by South Carolinian organists. Now, a word about the BWV numbers that you have probably heard on this program over and over. BWV is Bach's catalog of music organized by scholars, Bach Werke Verzeichnis. Every unique piece by Bach gets a number. Of the 1,080 works, the pieces are arranged thematically under the numbers 525 to 771. So, if you happen to catch a BWV number in that range, you will know it's a work for organ. The keyboard works, by the way, for piano nowadays mostly, go from 772 to 994. Bach was born in the pastoral town of Eisenach in 1685. His parents passed away when he was only 10, so he went to live with his brother, a well-respected organist in Ohrdruf, a town a few miles away. The Bachs, by the way, were a well-known musical family. Johann Christoph, in many ways, supervised Bach's early training, but the precocious master had already begun copying music, much to his brother's consternation, as music was expensive and manuscript paper was expensive. Though he copied music by Reinken, Buxtehude, and Pachelbel, and perhaps others. 5 years later, 15-year-old, he struck out on his own with a childhood friend of the name George. They walked way north to Lüneburg and received scholarship and lodging to sing at the St. Michael's Church and Choir School. It was here that Bach potentially took instruction from the great northern master Georg Böhm, or at least listened to him, for Böhm, B-O-H-M, the inventor of the choral partita, was organist at a church up the road. A few years ago, in the 2000s, organ tablature autographs by Bach, either written in Ohrdruf or Lüneburg, was discovered, along with a note of dedication to Böhm, increasing the suspicion that he had studied with him, be it not in a systemized way. This time, Bach was beginning to become known as an organ virtuoso, and visited Hamburg to listen to the other North German virtuoso, Reinken, whose existing music has Bach showing considerable debt and influence. So far, Eisenach to Ohrdruf to Lüneburg for his education. And after a brief stint in Weimar, Bach found work at a new church and a new pipe organ built by Wender in Arnstadt. The church, now called the Bach Church, hosts an exact replica of the instrument, including pipework that was original to the first instrument. And note here that positions did not come very easily to Bach. He worked very hard wooing the right people, dedicating music to kings and princes, slathering compliments. He was passed over for a number of jobs and was often second or even third choice, and he made enemies at others. He was highly skilled. He played violin, viola, harpsichord, early pianos, of course, organist. Among his musical skills, he was also supposed to teach Latin. He taught keyboard playing, and of his compositions, he wrote hundreds of cantatas, secular and religious. He also kept a library, ran a number of choirs, wrote a family history, and perhaps he was by definition the modern musician. Around this time, in the following years in Mulhausen, Bach composed a number of virtuosic organ works. The prelude and fugue was the genre of choice, which allowed a composer or performer to show off improvisatory expertise in the prelude and counterpoint skill in the fugues. Of course, Bach had plenty of contrapuntal fun and varied the preludes and fugues, so we have something like the Passacaglia and fugue in C minor, BWV 582. Bach, need I mention, greatly admired the North German master Buxtehude, who had written a few Passacaglia and fugues, and perhaps Bach borrowed this famous theme in the bass by André Raison. Charles Tompkins is our organist in another live recital, this time of the Firman Fisk, a three-manual mechanical action instrument located in Daniel Chapel on the campus of Furman University. I had a chance a few weeks ago to have a few hours to play this instrument, and it's an incredible pleasure. By the way, if you search on YouTube for Masterclass on a Pipe Organ Firman Fisk, Charles shows us a curious way he plays the beginning of this very piece.
Thank you.
You have just heard the famous Passacaglia and Fugue by J.S. Bach, and played for us by Charles Tompkins on the Fisk pipe organ of Furman University, located in Daniel Chapel. That was a live performance from their organ series there. You are listening to On the Keys here on South Carolina Public Radio. I'm David Kaiser. Bach's Organ Music, a two-part program featuring SC artists and instruments of the upstate on the show. So far, Eisenach, Ohrdruf, Lüneburg, Weimar, Arnstadt, and now Mühlhausen. 1707, the young Bach found work at the Blasiuskirche and married his first wife, Maria Barbara Bach, second cousin, by the way, and from that union a number of children, Katharina Dorothea, Wilhelm Friedemann, Johann Christoph, Maria Sophia, Carl Philipp Emanuel, Johann Gottfried Bernhard, and Leopold Augustus. And a cruel reminder, by the way, of the infant mortality rate. The twins Johann Christoph and Maria Sophie passed away in infancy, and Leopold Augustus died before his first birthday. Bach was intimately familiar with death, and John Elliott Gardiner constantly reminds us in Music in the Castle of Heaven that grief was often present in his music. There would be another shocking death in his future, but besides the lost children, the Bachs lived quite happily and moved on to Weimar, where Bach worked for royalty, a kingdom of dueling dukes, so to speak. He also wrote a lot of organ music, like the Prelude and Fugue in D Major BWV 532, that yours truly will play on next week's show. And that's our program this week. You've been listening to On the Keys. I'm your host, David Kaiser. Join us next week for part two of the J.S. Bach, played on South Carolina organs by South Carolina organists. The show's email address is keys@scpublicradio.org, and you can find playlists at our website, scpublicradio.org. This program is supported by your kind contributions to this station. Have a musical week.